Outcome 4.6 says, nurture faithfulness and love in marriage and family. In the book, The Battle for the Family, George C. Scipione reminds us that God created a family. He didn't start with a church, a government, a business, or a voluntary organization. He started with a family, a husband and wife who were to rule over the creation and procreate. These godly offspring were to start new families and spread out to fill the earth. All other societal organizations were present within the family in germinal form and developed out of the family to become separate entities with their own jurisdictional authority. However, such structures cannot replace the family. It is God's basic building block with which He builds nations, governments, churches, business enterprises, charitable institutions, etc. The centrality of the family lies in its unique nature and function. Nothing can replace it. In His infinite wisdom, God created the family. It is not a man-made institution. Anyone who ignores, bypasses, or tries to reconstruct it rejects God's plan. And those who try to replace it will fail. To fight the family is to do battle against God Himself, and rebellion against God always leads to death, for cultures as well as individuals. Whole cultures perish when they ignore or tamper with God's design for life. Wow, what a statement. That says it all. So we definitely need to do all we can to preserve the family, including what this outcome asks us to do, namely to nurture faithfulness and love in marriage and family. What does it mean to nurture faithfulness? The Cambridge Dictionary defines nurture as to take care of, feed, and protect someone or something, and faithfulness as the quality of being faithful to someone or something. So the outcome asks students to grow and take care of their steadfast commitment to their spouse and family and their love for them. Because this is a lifelong commitment, it requires that we will work at it and not let it waver in any way. To do that, we need to see what the Bible says about it. In Malachi 2:13-16, we read, God stands as a legal witness against the men of Israel, says Scipione, and calls them covenant breakers. But in Proverbs 2:16-22, the adulterous woman is described as one who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Therefore, says Scipione, to break covenant with a spouse is also to break covenant with God. In simple terms, when you marry someone, you are making a lifelong covenant with them and with God. The next biblical principle is beautifully described by Bill Mills in his book, Delighting in Each Other, The Power of Joy and Satisfaction in Marriage. Our Father wants the pleasures that we experience in relationship with Him to overflow into our relationships with one another. He invites husbands to delight in their wives. Proverbs 5:18-19 says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. What does it mean to delight in someone? For a husband, it means that all of his affections and desires are nourished and satisfied through his relationship with his wife. In other words, she has no competition for his affections. We should also carefully follow the instructions to believers in Colossians 3:12-13. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Next week, we will discuss the remaining principles.